Rebirth of the Five. Midnight. The thick cloth that Erebus and Nyx threw across earth, sea, and sky to mark the end of Hemera's and Aether's diurnal round blacked the world. In a valley high up on Mount Othrys, the Lord of All paced alone, banging his chest, restless and miserable. Cronos had grown into the most foul-tempered and discontented titan of all. Power over everything gave him no satisfaction. Since Rhea had, without explanation, banned him from the conjugal bed, sleep had been a stranger to him too. Denied its healing balm, his mood and digestion, neither good at the best of times, had worsened. The last of the babies he had swallowed seemed to have provoked a sharp acid reflux that the previous five had not. Where was the joy in omnipotence when his stomach griped and his thoughts stumbled blindly in the thick fog of insomnia? His heart lifted to a state approaching something like happiness, however, when he heard, unexpectedly, the sound of Rhea's low, sweet voice humming gently to herself as she came up the slope towards the mountain top. Loveliest sister and dearest wife. It was quite natural that she had been a little upset by his consumption of their six children, but she surely understood that he had had no choice. She was a titan. She knew about duty and destiny. He called out to her. Rhea?
Cronos, awake at this hour?
I have been awake for more days and nights than I can count. Hypnos and Morpheus have made themselves strangers to me. Full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife.
Macbeth, another murderer deprived of sleep and plagued by dark prophecies, was to say the same thing, but not for many years yet.
Oh, tush, my love, cannot the wit and craft of a titaness surpass those silly sleep demons? There is nothing Hypnos and Morpheus can do to soothe your aching body, to calm your racing mind, to ease your wounded spirit that I cannot match with something sweet and warm of my own.
Your sweet, warm lips, your sweet, warm thighs, your sweet, warm...
Those in time, impatient lord. But first, I've brought you a present, a lovely boy to be your cup-bearer.
From the recess stepped Zeus, a radiant smile lighting up his handsome face. He bowed and proffered Cronos a jeweled goblet, which the titan snatched greedily.
"Pretty, very pretty. I might try him later," he said, casting an admiring eye over Zeus and drinking down the contents of the goblet in one greedy draught. "But Rhea, it is you that I love."
It was too dark for him to see that Rhea had hoisted one eyebrow into an arch of contemptuous incredulity.
"You love me?" she hissed. "You love me? You, who ate all but one of my darling children, you dare talk to me of love?"
Cronos gave an unhappy hiccup. He was undergoing the strangest sensations. He frowned and tried to focus. What was Rhea saying? It could not be that she no longer loved him. His mind was even more foggy and his stomach even more turbulent than usual. What was wrong with him? Oh, and there was something else she had said, something that made no sense at all.
"What do you mean?" he asked, in a voice thick with confusion and nausea. "By saying that I ate... all but one of your children. I ate all of them. I distinctly remember."
A strong, young voice cracked through the night air like a whip. Not quite all, father.
Kronos, the nausea rising in an alarming surge, turned in shock to see the young cupbearer step from the shadows. Kronos's question turned into a sudden uprush of uncontrollable vomiting. From his gut, in one heaving spasm, erupted a large stone. The linen in which it was once wrapped had long since been dissolved by stomach acid. Kronos gazed at it stupidly, his eyes swimming and his face white. But before he could understand what he was seeing, he was assailed by that horrible and unmistakable feeling that tells a vomiter that there is more to come, far more. Zeus leapt fleetly forward, picked up the regurgitated boulder and hurled it far, far away, much as Kronos had once flung Uranus's genitals far, far away from the exact same spot. The great magnetite stone landed on the mainland at Pytho, later to be named Delphi. It lodged fast in the earth and became the omphalos, or navel stone of Greece, the Hellenic belly button, an enduring symbol of the country's birth, its spiritual center and magnetic hub. At the command of Gaia, to guard the stone, from out of the ground came a great serpent, Python, an anagram and half-brother of Typhon. We shall have more to do with him in a little while. Inside Kronos, the compound of salt, mustard and ipecacuanha continued to do its emetic work. The potion was prepared by Metis, and it would be nice to think that that is where our word emetic comes from, but I don't think it does. One by one, he spewed up the five children he had swallowed. First out was Hera. Then came Poseidon, Demeter, Hades, and finally, Hestia, before the tormented Titan collapsed in a paroxysm of exhausted panting. Although in birth order Hera had been the last to be born before Zeus, she now counted as the second child. A kind of reverse seniority operated as they emerged from Kronos's gullet. Zeus became officially the eldest of the children, while Hestia, having been the firstborn, was now considered the youngest. It makes sense if you are a god. If you recall, Metis's potion included a quantity of poppy juice. This immediately began to take somniferous effect. Letting out one last great rumbling groan, Kronos rolled over and fell into a deep, deep sleep. With a cry of exultation, Zeus bent over his snoring father to grasp the great sickle and administer the coup de grace. He would sever Kronos's head in one blow and raise it up in triumph before the world, creating a victorious tableau that would never be forgotten and that artists would depict until the end of time. But the scythe, forged by Gaia for Kronos, could not be used against him. Powerful as Zeus was, he was unable even to pick it up. He tried once, but it felt as if it was fixed to the ground. "Gaia gave it to him, and only Gaia can take it away from him," said Rhea. "Let it be." "But I must kill him," said Zeus. "We must be revenged. His mother Earth protects him. Do not anger her. You will need her in the time to come. You will have your revenge." Zeus gave up his attempts to move the scythe. It was vexing that he could not behead his hated father as he lay there snoring like a pig. But his mother was right. It could wait. There was too much to celebrate.
in the starlight over Mount Othrys, he and his 5 liberated siblings laughed and stamped and hooted and howled with delight. Their mother laughed too, clapping her hands with joy to see her radiant sons and daughters so well and so happy, out in the world at last and ready to claim their inheritance. Each of the 5 rescued ones took it in turn to embrace Zeus, their youngest but now eldest brother, their saviour and their leader. They swore allegiance to him forever. Together they would overthrow Kronos and his whole ugly race and establish a new order. They would not, despite their parentage, call themselves Titans. They would be gods, and not just gods, but the gods.